Chapter 19. What is a pilgrimage, and why did people go on them? Ron was pacing, the chalk rolling between his fingers while his students watched him like the rat a tennis match. It was a very warm day for early November, and the windows were cracked open. The students seemed fidgety because of the change in temperature and the excess of clothing. He had them trained to have their notebooks open at the start of each class. He kept a supply of pens and pencils in a canister on his desk, and anyone who had forgotten to bring one could just walk up and take one. If you haven't brought your book, you had to sit with someone else, but then you knew his eyes were going to be on you, and that you were sure to get called on at least a couple of times. Their initial testing period of him was over. He could be flustered by them, but it was much more likely that they were going to wind up blushing on account of the way he turned things, and his class was fun. They wanted to read for it. Andrea said, "It's like a journey or a vacation." Ron said, "You mean like going down the shore?" Andrea felt herself redden. "No, not like that. They didn't have boardwalks or anything like that." Ron paced and ran his fingers through his hair. "Well, they did in a way. They had this shrine for this guy, Tom, who was a patron saint of the Saxons, who were kind of like the poor. Everybody felt good about Tom now that he was dead, and people would take trips to this place that was dedicated to him." Andrea sat back in a desk and spread her legs wide open under her desk, the short skirt hiking up along her thighs. Ron, pacing, saw her white patch of panties and turned his head to keep his mind focused. But the trip could be dangerous, like going out for a walk by yourself in the middle of the night around here. And so people traveled in groups, and as they went, they made up stories to entertain each other. Now her legs were opening and shutting like a bird that was flapping its wings, only slower. Ron was hoping that she needed to go to the bathroom or that she would just stop because he was finding it more and more difficult not to look. He took off his jacket and noticed that his shirt was wet from the perspiration that had gathered underneath. So these stories were things that they made up as part of a contest to see who could tell the best story. "You should have been there, Mr. Tuck. You would have kicked butt." Ron laughed, and the grin spread across his face and showed his dimples, and the girl smiled, and one with bleached, bright blonde hair, who had a case of acne, would not quit, said, "But they were all religious stories, right?" "Some of them were, Joyce, but some of them were pretty raunchy." There was a giggle, and then one of his seniors, who liked to look confused because she thought it was attractive, said, "What's raunchy?" "Off-color stories," said Ron. The blonde grinned at him and said, "You mean dirty stories?" There was that nervous laughter that bounced through the room like a crazy ball was careening off the walls. The blonde wiggled herself back and forth on her seat and made a show of renewed interest in her book and then said, "Okay, let's read those and skip the others." It gave Ron an idea. He was learning that if he threw things out to them and listened to how they reacted, that something would be revealed to him. Away into the piece, and there it was. "What we are going to do is divide up the stories and tell them to each other like we are on the journey together. Each of you is going to pick one and read it and put it into your own words, and then we are going to tell the stories to each other. Now, there are those that we have to tell, and I will handle those if you don't pick them first. But for the rest of them, you need to look the book over, skim the characters, and decide whose story that you want to tell. Some of them are long, some are really short, some are really exciting, and some are really boring. I'll try to keep you away from the boring junk." Andrea was flapping faster. Ron was wondering if he should ask her if she needed to use the bathroom, and then the absurdity of asking a 17-year-old girl if she needed to pee struck him, and he dismissed that idea. There was a knock at his door, a light tapping, but Ron didn't hear it. He was at the board and writing down names of the pilgrims for the kids to choose from. He rattled off from the first dozen or so from memory, and then he was looking in the prologue to find the others. The girls heard the tapping immediately, their heads all turning towards the door, and then their eyes going straight down to their books and their hands making sure that they were copying what he was writing on the board. There was a second set of taps, and this time Ron looked up to see the face of Sister Irene Emmanuel standing in his doorway with a crooked finger that was beckoning him. He walked quickly to the door, and she opened it and backed away and asked him to step into the hallway. "Yes, sister." "Mr. Tuck, you have your jacket off." "Yes, sister, it's really warm today." "But, Mr. Tuck, your bare arms are dangling out." Ron blushed and looked at his arms and then back into her face. She turned him into a child almost instantly. But he liked her. He trusted her. And above all, he wanted to please her and have her think well of him. "Yes, sister, I'll put my jacket on right away." She nodded with a serene kind of admonishment and said, "That's an excellent idea," and walked back down the hall towards her office, the black habit floating just above her feet. Ron walked back into the room, and his students watched as he put his jacket on immediately. Joyce said, "Busted," and the girls giggled. Ron smiled and said, "Yes. The sight of my arms is apparently an unnecessary distraction," and then went back to writing at the board. Andrea said to Joyce, "It wasn't his arms that I was staring at." Ron noticed that he lit up in a gleeful way when he taught his younger students. It wasn't that the lessons were easier to do or that he liked the literature more. It was them. They rushed into the room eager to be there, to be in contact with him, and he brightened so visibly at the sight of them that it was almost as if he'd become someone else. It was their writing that he pondered over. It was their questions that reappeared in his mind on his drives or when he was in the shower, never when he was with Zoe. He wanted to keep them to himself, to mold them. At the end of the day, it was they who flew past his room and stuck their heads in and wished him good night. That afternoon, Ron left his classroom early to attend a faculty meeting. Sister Irene Emmanuel presided over these meetings with the look that commanded respect. She could use her facial expressions to convey her thoughts, particularly to accent what she wasn't saying. Looking freshly laundered and finely scrubbed, she smiled at the gathering of her teachers and said, "Well, it seems that we have settled in nicely and started the year off well, and gotten through the foolishness of Halloween. Our enrollment is up by 30, so now we have 485 students, which, all things considered, must be thought of as successful. Now, paper is not free, and I have been finding too much of it wasted and discarded into the trash. Please remember that the girls do have notebooks, and that it isn't necessary to give them our paper for every little thing that they do. Also, please remember that we are not a provider of pens and pencils. The girls know that they need to come prepared, and it would be wrong for us to spoil them." Ron felt heat come to his cheeks. He wondered if this was directed at him. Maybe he was being foolish and spoiling them, but wasn't it more important for them to learn? He almost raised a hand to ask this, but then he thought better of it. Sister Irene Emmanuel continued, after a pause and a scan of her eyes and a pursing of her lips that communicated that she was not talking about the sisters who knew better. The nuns smiled and looked down. This had been a topic of discussion at the convent. They knew it was coming, and she had delivered the line expertly, although one or two would not have minded if she had singled out the prime offenders. Now, the subject of discipline needs to be discussed. We are instituting a system of demerits. She passed out a stack of freshly copied pages that were passed up the aisles. I'm not going to read it to you. Take a moment and look over the page. Ron read quickly. It was a system of offenses and the number of demerits that each carried with it. Late, 1 demerit. Uniform violation, 1 demerit first offense, 3 demerits second offense and a call home, 5 demerits for each additional offense and a parent conference. Excessive makeup is a uniform violation. No homework, 1 demerit, and an academic penalty. Failure to be respectful, 3 demerits. Unprepared for class, 1 demerit. This includes lack of book covers or coming to class without the necessary tools for that day. Fighting, 10 demerits, a parent conference in the principal's office. Inappropriate behavior. The number of demerits assigned for this is at the discretion of the teacher, whatever she thinks is appropriate. Conduct unbecoming a lady. 2 demerits, but perhaps more, depending on the severity of the offense. Inwardly, Ron groaned as he read the list. It was all about class control. He had no problems with class control. Why should anyone have a problem with it? Ron knew enough to not say any of these things. He sat and listened. Today, we are going to form a faculty council that will meet with girls who have exceeded the 10 demerit limit. I know that any of you that are chosen will take this responsibility seriously. There will be 5 members of the council, 2 lay teachers, 2 sisters, and myself. Ron nodded and looked around, wondering who he thought would be best. Sister Juliana Marie was quickly nominated, as was Sister Bernadette. Ron knew both. Juliana taught math in the classroom above his, and Sister Bernadette taught religion and led the choir. Marcia was nominated and quickly confirmed by the staff as one of the senior lay teachers. Then Irene Emmanuel said, "I think that the addition of a male presence would help in our cause," and without asking for a vote, looked over at Ron and said, "Would you be kind enough to join our effort, Mr. Tuck?" Ron almost gasped. Then he said as obediently as he was able, "Yes, sister."